Investing is when your principal is generally safe and you have a chance to make a return. But speculating or gambling is when your principal is not at all safe and you have a chance to make a return. And I confuse the two.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
We've heard it before. If you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. Today's guest was very successful in his business and retired early. But guess what? He hated it. And it's all to do with planning. He didn't plan his retirement. So whether you're young or old, it all plays a part. So he went back and started investing. So we're going to get a few lessons today, because we also are going to hear about the difference between investing and speculating and how to lose money. Paul Moore graduated with an engineering degree and then got his MBA. Paul then started on the management development track, working at Ford Motor Company in Detroit. After 5 years, he departed to start a staffing company with the partner, and they sold it to a public traded firm for $2.9 million after only 5 years. Paul has also been a finalist in the Ernst & Young's Michigan Entrepreneur of the Year 2 years straight. Later on, Paul entered the real estate sector, and he has completed 85 real estate investments and exits. Paul has appeared on the HGTV special real estate episode, rehabbed and managed dozens of rental properties. Paul now works primarily in the multifamily investment arena. Paul hosts a podcast show called How to Lose Money and writes for the Bigger Pockets online education real estate investor website. Paul is the author of The Perfect Investment: Create Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift to Multifamily Housing. So welcome to the show, Paul Moore.
Hey, it's great to be here, Anne. Thanks for having me on.
And where are you located, Paul?
I am in Central Virginia. My family and I retired kind of early at 35, and we decided we did not want to live in Metro Detroit anymore. It was kind of caving in at the time 20 years ago. And so we sold everything and moved to a mountaintop in Virginia. And we actually ended up moving back to the city, but we love the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia.
Wow, it sounds like a perfect retirement location. So you said you've retired once already and didn't work out, huh?
You know, I made a lot of mistakes when I retired. First of all, I was a high energy entrepreneur, and those sound, you know, retiring at 35 with a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old sounded like a great idea. I was really bored quickly. And we opened up a not-for-profit organization, which was an organization that we were reaching out to try to welcome international students to the United States who were in college. And I realized that I didn't have enough to do, so I got bored. And I also made a lot of bad investments. I didn't know the difference between investing and gambling, and I gambled a lot of the money away. I thought I was investing, and I told people I was investing, but I actually was gambling, or at least, you know, I was at least taking a lot of high risk with my investments. And so I lost a lot of money, I mean, even though I wanted to go back to work, I would have had to.
That's very truthful of you and very interesting. So what changed then? Is it, I see that you believe now that we need to have a reason. We need to know why we're investing. Is that what changed it for you?
No, that came a long time later. But no, over the years, I realized, you know, investing is when your principal is generally safe and you have a chance to make a return. But speculating or gambling is when your principal is not at all safe and you have a chance to make a return. And I confuse the two. And so for years, I was taking high risks, and sometimes I would make a lot of money, and I was very thankful for that. And other times, I would lose all of that money, and I was actually burned by that. And so once I finally realized the difference between gambling and investing, I started doing things differently. And now I'm actually pretty passionate about telling people how to build wealth for retirement in a way that is a lot safer, more stable. It's not going to make 1,000% return like the oil wells that I invested in did not, that looked like they would, but it's actually a way to safely and carefully build money for retirement.
So it seems like you've learned from your mistakes. And is that how most people do it? Or do we all have to make the mistakes before we get a winning formula?
You know, I think some people do so well so young. I mean, I did. I started a company at age 29 and it went really, really well. And I think I was lured into believing that I was a lot smarter than perhaps I was. And I think most people learn more from their mistakes than their successes. In fact, and that's why I started a podcast. It's a wealth building podcast called How to Lose Money. And that's where we interview successful investors and entrepreneurs and talk about mistakes that they made early on and we try to teach people to not make those same mistakes.
Because I assume that if you made too many mistakes in a row, you maybe run out of money.
It's absolutely true. And I did. I actually had about $1.5 million, $2 million or so in the bank in the year 1997. And I had $2.5 million in debt a decade later. And I found myself with my back up against the wall. And again, a lot of that was from speculating. And so the great news is that was tied up in real estate. So for the most part, that debt had a way of paying it off. And I was actually debt-free 13 months later. But at any rate, I wish I hadn't gone that deeply in debt going into a recession that I should have been able to see coming. And I believe I would see it coming now if it happened again.
All right. So you've learned a lot of lessons. So what do you do differently now?
So what I'm doing now is to make it really simple, we build a lot of houses. So when we were buying houses to fix up and resell, that was fairly safe. We buy a house for $50,000 US dollars. We might put $20,000 into it and then sell it for $100,000. It was pretty hard to lose a lot of money with that strategy. But then later I said, well, if we can make money flipping houses, we can make a lot more money building them from the ground up. Now, let me tell you, Ann, building from the ground up when you don't know how to hang a doorknob on your office is a pretty bad idea. And so building from the ground up is actually a much riskier strategy. And it's what I did. And so we started building homes. We built 7 or 8 homes. I actually made money on several. And then I lost money on the biggest, nicest one. And we did the same thing with multifamily. We actually did really well on our first multifamily deal. Then we built a hotel, a very, very nice hotel. And everything went wrong. I mean, I could go on and on about wrong city, wrong location in the city, wrong contractor, wrong size hotel, much too large for the location. And so I learned that I really wanted to go back instead of trying to hit grand slam home runs. I wanted to go back to a strategy of hitting singles and doubles in baseball terms. And I wanted to be a lot safer. I'm happier with a lower, stable, steady predictable return. And so what I'm doing now is Class B multifamily. And that means I'm investing, I'm buying existing apartment buildings. Let's say 125 units was the last one in Lexington, Kentucky. We're fixing them up in some meaningful way to raise rents, raise occupancy, raise income, therefore raising the value for our investors. So that's what we're doing.
Right. So multifamily is apartment buildings. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what sort of return are you talking about these days?
Well, you know, it used to be a lot higher. There's a tremendous run on apartments now. A lot of people are really trying to grab them and buy them now. So the returns we expect, we tell our investors, would be we'd expect between 5 and 10% annual cash on cash return. And then the total return, which also includes principal, the cash return plus the principal pay down, plus the appreciation, we expect to be in the 12 to 15% per year range. And of course, leverage allows us to accelerate the return, because if the if the property goes up in value 10%, that might mean a 30% total return to the investors, because the debt is taking up about two-thirds of the capital stack, if you will.
And with these multifamily dwellings, how long does it take to pay them down? Is that the aim, to pay them down?
Yeah, you know, it is the aim to pay them down, but not for the sake of paying them off. It's actually a lot more mathematically sensible to refinance the property when it gets paid down to a certain level. And our goal in about 5 to 6 years would be to extract the safe equity out through refinancing, and then take that money, give it back to the investors, and then the investors can choose to reinvest that in another property if they'd like to. And so that's our goal. And then we might do that again 10 years later, or we might sell it at that time.
I see. So how do you work with investors?
Well, what we do is, if investors contact us, they can contact us through our website or through articles I write on Bigger Pockets or videos or podcasts. If they contact us and they want to talk, we speak to them. And if we are a good fit for them and they're a good fit for us, then we will allow them to invest with us in our projects. So we call that a syndication model, which means we're pooling together maybe 50 investors into one group to purchase one of these apartment buildings or whatever else we're doing.
Right. I see. And do you take them through this process about what's important to become an investor? Is this when we need to know why you're investing?
Yeah. I mean, so some of my investors don't know my big why and don't know what I'm really passionate about. But anybody who asks me or anybody who listens to me on podcasts typically finds out. But no, we want our investors to understand that, you know, investing in apartments or self-storage, which I haven't mentioned yet, but that's another thing we're getting into. It's not a liquid investment. It's something that's going to be, your money's going to be tied up for a long time, many years. You won't be able to access that cash. You won't have an opportunity to, you know, trade it in and out like stocks. We want our investors to know it's not hitting a home run. It's not going to double your money in 2 years. That has happened before to people, but that's not what we expect at all. And we want to make sure our investors, you know, they don't need the money to live on right now. If something goes wrong and there's no return for the first 2 years, well, we want to make sure that they're not going to be strapped to live, that they, you know, that they understand that this is money that they could afford to wait it out long term. So that's what we want our investors to understand. And we want to answer any questions they have about us as well. So that's kind of the qualifications for an investor. Generally, our investors are accredited, not always, but that means that they're generally, they have $1 million in US in, you know, net worth or more, not including their home.
Right. And it seems to be a winning formula, because how long have you been focusing on this market now?
Well, Wellings Capital is actually a pretty new company. We did the hotel before, and we did the multifamily in North Dakota that we actually built from the ground up. That went very well. Investors were very pleased with their returns. I did quite a few other, you know, one or two or three investor deals before that, you know, probably a dozen that worked out really well, including the subdivision, including all kinds of flip houses where we got investor participation. But Wellings Capital is a fairly new company. And one thing I didn't mention, Ann, is after our last multifamily deal, we had investors contacting us 2 months later saying, hey, we're antsy. Where's the next deal? We like that one. Where's the next? And we had to say, you know, the multifamily space is so overheated. We don't know when we're going to buy again. And it turns out, we've looked at about 190 deals so far this year, and none of them have worked for us because the market is so overheated. So we're actually following Warren Buffett's advice, and we're actually investing alongside another operator that we really love. And they're actually buying self-storage units. They're operating those profitably, and then at some point they'll refinance or sell those. And so we're actually investing alongside them right now.
Self-storage.
Yeah. Do you have that in Australia?
Yes, there is. But they seem to be mainly, they're either owned by a single operator or they're owned by a big chain, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm.
So there's like one like Fort Knox, and they seem to be in every major city. So they're all seem to be owned by the same operator.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
I know one lady that's very successful with online eBay stores, and she uses online storage as like a concierge thing. She has people come in and pack her orders for her and then use the concierge service at the self-storage to do deliveries and pickups,
Right. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I've heard about that. Makes sense.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Well, you've had a really big journey with your real estate. It's always fascinating hearing what people have gotten up to and where they've ended up. Do you have investors from all over the world?
We have a lot of investors who were grew up in India. Interestingly, I just happened to meet a lot of those type of folks. It's been amazing and wonderful to work with them. We have one in China. I don't think they've invested yet, but they're actually looking to invest more money than we've had availability to take, if you can imagine that. We have one in Germany, one in South Korea, and then most of the rest are in the U.S. I think all the rest are in the U.S.
Right. And is it different for foreigners to invest in America?
Is it different for foreigners instead of like compared to Americans?
Yeah.
There's actually something I just heard about, and you may already know about it, but I want to tell your listeners, and I don't have any personal experience with them, but I was speaking at a conference a week ago in Rhode Island, and a week ago today, in fact, and they were talking about a company called Lombard International. And it was a company who helps international investors who are investing in the U.S. It helps them effectively invest in a way that reduces their taxes. Your listeners, investors might want to look up Lombard International. Lombard is a company that helps investors internationally who are investing in the U.S. shelter some of their taxes. So I don't know that much about the tax law.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney, not a CPA, so I'm not sure of all the details.
Yeah. When you buy these multi-dwelling properties, do you use a management company to operate the properties, or is that
absolutely
part of, and is that something that you set up, or have you got a company that does it for you?
No, we would never set it up. We don't really want to know. We don't want to get spread so thin that we have to learn all the details and manage all the details of running a property. We want to know about it. We want to be the asset manager, but we want to manage a company that just does that and does it very well. And so we always would have a property manager, whether it was in multifamily or whether we're in the future, whether we invest in self-storage.
Okay. What else would you like to talk about?
I would love to tell you about my big why. I think it's really important that investors, entrepreneurs, anybody who's doing something that's really hard and has an uphill battle, I think it's really important to have something, a bigger cause, more than making money, more than just being successful. And I don't know what you've heard in Australia about human trafficking. I know you know about it. Human trafficking is a horror, and it's worldwide. There's 30-some million people who are trafficked around the world right now. And if you took the record profits from the companies General Motors, Nike, Starbucks, and Apple, their record profits, added that together, double that number, that's the approximate annual revenues generated by human trafficking. It's slavery, it's horrifying, and it's happening around the world right now. So I decided I wanted to do something about it. My heart's still beating. I figured I might as well do something to change the world. And so I am doing whatever I can to inform the public of this. And I'm also trying to raise money from our profits to fight trafficking and rescue its victims. And I'm also part of an organization called Freedom Place. FreedomPlaceProject.com is a new organization. We are actually going to be building a $1 billion office building in Dallas. And this building is going to generate, we figure, about $100 to $125 million in profits for us as the owners. And we plan to donate, we will donate 100% of the profits to fight human trafficking and to rescue its victims. And then we plan to use this Dallas complex as a prototype for more of those type of things in other cities in the future.
Well, that's very amazing. And congratulations for doing this. Is this part of a worldwide group?
Well, I mean, so they're based in the Briggs. You've heard of Sotheby's. You have Sotheby's real estate there?
No.
Okay, so Sotheby's is out of England, I believe. And Sotheby's, yes, right?
Yeah.
And then Sotheby's has franchises of real estate offices in the U.S. And there's one called Briggs Sotheby's in Dallas. And that is where this has started. It's a very successful family who has done a lot of real estate there. And they actually have Ben Briggs is in China. And he is actually working with groups to fight human, actually to rescue the victims of human trafficking there in China. And so he and his family are behind this. So they've got actually contacts all over the world. That's true.
It's something that has been going on for a long, long time, isn't it? It's not something that's new. It's something that's always been around.
Mm-hmm. It's
human,
true.
Human trafficking. And America knows all about it as well, because that's how your Negroes got to America.
Yeah, you know, and I want to believe that if I was alive in the 1800s in the United States, I would be fighting for the freedom of slaves. And if I would have been an adult in the 1960s, I would have been fighting for equal rights, you know, for African Americans. And here I am in 2018, and it's, you know, this is happening right under our noses. It's a big deal. And so I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah. It's great that you're taking up this cause. And it is a reason that once we get older and we're looking at retirement, that if we don't plan, like you said, you failed in your first attempt to retire. But if you put some planning into it and say, well, what am I going to use my time for? And what you're doing is a terrific way to use your valuable time going into retirement. So, you know, when you're not busy working because you have to work, you're busy doing something because you want to. I mean, I think that's a perfect way to look at your retirement.
Doing something worthwhile. Yeah. Actually, you know, I'm still as high of energy as I was 20 years ago. So I don't have any current retirement plans, regardless of what my income is.
Yeah. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. They just been busy working in the corporate world, and they think it's a great idea to retire, but you certainly need something to do or some projects to work on to keep your mind active. I've been talking to a brain specialist, Arnie Wilson from New Zealand. She was a burnt out, stressed out executive, and she's saying that unless we keep doing things and doing something different, we need to keep regenerating our brain cells.
Yeah, that's true. There's a great book called Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F. And she's from South Africa, I think, and she has amazing neuroscience on the how the brain works and how important it is to keep it going.
Right. Anyway, well, thanks very much. It's been interesting, and I'm sure my listeners will find it fascinating that you've retired and then rejuvenated yourself, and that you're having a great time informing people on your podcast, How to Lose Money. Do you want to just tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So I realized over the years that I learned a lot more, like I said, from losing money, from failures, mistakes, problems, disasters, than I did from successes. And I thought that it was a lot easier to not replicate a mistake than it was easy to replicate someone's success. And so what I've been doing is what we decided to do was to launch this podcast to teach people to avoid these failures and mistakes. We have about 120 episodes as of now. We're doing one a week. And we would love to invite you to join us if you've ever had a mistake or failure where you've lost money, time, a business, a relationship. We'd love to interview you, Anne, and tell our listeners how not to make that mistake.
I assume the people you interview have turned themselves around and then have gone on to be successful investors.
Most of them are really successful, but some are still struggling to get out of the hole they created. One of the investors we were talking to was under some kind of indictment from the federal U.S. government. And we assumed, like most people, he was talking about 10 years ago, but he said, oh, no, that was last month.
Right. Well, thank you very much. I'll take you up on that one day. I'm still working on my investments. And
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, come visit us. We've got all kinds of information about investing at my website. It's wellingscapital.com.
So that's how they would get in touch with you?
Yeah. People can reach out to me at paul@wellingscapital.com. And the website's obviously wellingscapital.com. The podcast is called How to Lose Money. I'm also a blogger on Bigger Pockets, which is a real estate investment blog and forum.
Right. Thank you very much. It's been great chatting with you.
It's been a real honor. Thank you for having me on the show.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.